This is Infection, the H1Z1 podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, July 21st, 2015, episode 27. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection, the H1Z1 podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on H1Z1. We bring you the latest news, changelogs, developments, strategies, and speculation each and every week. My name is Nick Craig. At Gamecast Live is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. And we're a little late today, but joining me, like always, Brian Aldridge. What's going on, Brian?
Yeah, better late than never. Not too much. My computer computer decided it wanted to reboot. So
better late than never. That's, you know, I would say if I had to sum up the last 6 months, that's how I would sum up Infection. Better late than never.
Yeah.
So what's going on, Brian?
It gets done. Oh, well, here it's a beautiful day in Boise. Has your weather been pretty good over there?
Yeah. I mean, it's nice, mid-80s. A little sprinkles.
I haven't heard any horror stories of New York. So.
Some sprinkles, but other than that, I mean, it was pretty nice. Saturday was not good, but I mean, other than that, it's been pretty good.
Very good, yeah. Well, if you want to get a hold of me, you can go to, first of all, biteoftech.com, and that is biteoftech with an I. Or if you'd like, you can go to google.com/+BrianAldridge, and that will take you right to my Google Plus page. So. Yeah. Last week, we didn't give out contact information till the end, so I figured I'd start it out with that.
Yeah. I mean, people, I'm sure they were just on the edge of their seats trying to find our
contact
information.
Yeah, they're like, I wonder how they can get a hold of these guys.
Yeah. But we're here. We're live. We do the show live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern on twitch.tv/infectionpodcast. So we're 1 week done with our, was it 3 week?
It's two weeks.
So we're halfway through our 2 week fix all of the holes and
quality of life
left behind.
Yeah,
exactly.
Month or whatever they were calling it.
Mm-hmm. So we're a week into that, and we've actually seen some pretty, I don't know, I want to say pretty good stuff, and it is good stuff, but it's not to the magnitude of the stuff that we've seen in the past, but stuff that was well needed. And stuff that, I mean, I think we recommended this how many weeks ago that they did something like this?
Like, I think we recommended it like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was a week or two after we had suggested it.
I think it may have been our mobile show.
Yeah. I think that was the one we had said it on.
Yeah. So the whole point with this, if you haven't been following what they've been doing with H1Z1, they pretty much stopped the roadmap development for 2 weeks and said, we are going to just focus on fixing loose ends, stuff that we've left behind from previous patches, current bugs that are in the game. And so far, they've been doing a pretty damn good job fixing little issues. They fixed the big memory leak that everybody was having. So this is great.
My favorite thing is that they went to this non-1 week patch cycles for bugs. Because that's what we had said at the time. Is like, why are you waiting? Like, let's say you find a bug or confirm a bug on a Wednesday, right? You just done a patch on Tuesday. So you're going to wait. And if it's not a game-breaking bug, because they were putting out small patches for major game breakers, but they would wait until the whole next week.
Yeah, and that bug may
some of those bug fixes.
And that bug may or may have not been even in the test server. Sometimes they weren't even going into the test server. They were just waiting until the patch to say, hey, let's patch this. And then that's when we were seeing these big game-breaking bugs, is because these things weren't thoroughly tested. They've been updating the patch server or the test servers almost every day.
Yeah.
It's they're finding issues and they're just throwing them up on the test server. And that's what it should be like, realistically. The test server doesn't need to be on a strict, you know, day patch. But it does need to be, like I've said for weeks now, it needs to be at least a week, a full week, ahead of the live server.
Yeah.
It can't be, what is it right now, 4 days ahead of the live server with two days of a weekend in there, which don't count towards development. So it needs to be a week ahead. There's not enough time between Thursday and the next, you know, Tuesday or Monday night, depending on what time they do the patch.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like Thug in chat, he's saying, you know, what about more content? And what they're doing is exactly what I had asked. You know, I pretty much said, forget about content for a little while.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, that's what we said. This is what we asked for. And this is what they're doing. So I think right now this is the best step, because you can keep putting out more content. And it's not like they're not putting out content. I mean, we're going to show some things later in the show that they added.
Yeah.
There's still some development of content going on, because not everybody that's working at Daybreak is going to be able to do something that's towards these bug fixes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the mostly going to be programmers.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they still need to be pushing out content through the week.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna say this right up front, Brian. I have not played H1Z1 in I think 5 days. They're doing their test stuff, and I'm taking a little break. I'm detoxing a little bit from H1Z1. I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you.
I think most of the people that I talk to are doing BRs. If they're doing it at all, they are playing BRs. A few of us have gone into the regular servers. We have some bases built. I run around, but I went across the whole map from the southern part of the map all the way up to the governor's mansion. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a single person.
That's so weird, because we're going to get into the current players later, and it's just, the numbers are not reflecting the people. I don't know what the numbers are reflecting.
Now there are, they do have the group BRs, well, two-person BRs now.
Correct.
I mean, so possibly that's people are people really are doing BRs.
Yeah. I'm throwing that out there right now at the beginning of the show. I have not played H1Z1 in at least 5 days. I was frustrated the last time I played. And I just thought it would be good if I was playing Rocket League for a part of the week. I just said it's better if I just stay off H1Z1 for a little while. And it's not like there's been much in terms of game development going on, like new content that I need to check out for the show. It's really just, you know, minor fixes here and there. So I think this is a good, if anybody else is, you know, frustrated with H1Z1, this might be your week until the second week of this quality of life stuff is over. Maybe this is your chance to just take a little break.
This week, Lachlan and chat's mentioning, you know, our reward's still broken for Team BR. And from what I can tell, they aren't giving rewards. That's what I was told.
Which, again, is a big deterrent for a lot of people. I mean, what's the point of getting all the way to first place and not getting anything?
Yeah. I mean, it's part of testing. I did a group BR. Every time I've tried to do a group BR, the person that's with me crashes out in the lobby. Mm-hmm. And so I've never had a person actually do a group BR with me. I got to like place 16 a little bit ago, like agnostic in chat. He was doing it with me. He crashed out. And I got to 16th place by myself. And, you know, I was looking for someone to kill me. And during that time, I found a vehicle fully loaded. I was running around, went for every airdrop I could find. I just could not die.
You were trying to kill yourself, and you just...
I wanted to find somebody. If they didn't shoot at me, I was going to say, here, take this car, take my stuff. I'm going to respawn.
Nice. Good guy, Brian.
I couldn't find, but then somebody with a vehicle started chasing me, and I was like, well, I'm not going to go hand this to this person.
Yeah, there you go.
And so then I killed them. But anyways.
So getting back to quality of life stuff and stuff that they've been doing over the past week, we had our first official game update, which we saw last Thursday, which is their normal day for testing the patch server. And they did this update, and this it's weird because some of these updates are going to conflict the later updates because they removed stuff and then re-added it back with bugs, but we're just strictly going off what they've posted on Reddit. We're giving you all the news. You know, we're kind of recapping what happened the last week. So they did some testing with the Team BR. This is for the test server.
Yeah.
And they did this. They said they added rewards to the Team BR. That's still, I believe, not working.
And that's the thing. It's like the five-man BRs for me are grayed out still.
Yeah.
I think they enabled them, disabled them, so but the two-mans are enabled.
Exactly. So this stuff is not really going to reflect. So, and then it says the top five, so it's essentially going to be 10 players, are going to get the rewards. It's the top five two-man teams. They will get rewards when that's fixed. They fixed the character create fail message that would be shown. Sometimes you would log
just in the upper left, right?
Yeah, it would just show that.
A little red message. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever you create a new character, it would say character create failed, and then it still went into the server.
Yeah, it would just log you back in. They fixed that as well. They fixed an issue with zombies taking two headshots from an arrow. So now
that was annoying.
Yeah, that worked. Now then it stopped working. Now that's fixed again. So one headshot with an arrow should kill a zombie there. They did some tweaks to the bear AI, which they've been working on for what, 2 or 3 weeks now since they announced the fixes for the bear.
Yeah, because initially they did the wolf, and now they're
hitting the bear.
I think they're trying to fix the bear because they're coming up with all these new things that the bear are gonna do.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Stand up.
So they need to get it to where if they're going to change how it reacts, they need to get at least to work in the first place.
Exactly. And then the last thing is just performance and stability, stuff like that. So that was Thursday that they had done that. And that was the 16th, and that was all done. Now, they also did another one on the 17th. So that would have been Friday.
Yeah, it was 7 days ago, right? So,
not 7 days ago.
Sorry. Friday. That's correct.
So that's the 17th that they did that one. And some of the stuff, like I said, is kind of conflicting. But this one is still things with Group BR, but they updated the AI nav mesh data.
So that's okay. So that is the path selecting. So
yes,
the zombies and I guess you could say the bears and the wolves and everything else, that is the artificial intelligence it uses to determine a path that it's going to go.
Yeah. And the mesh is essentially the curvature, not even the curvature, but the landscape. So the mountains little divots in the ground, that's the mesh. But, you know, it's essentially what the world looks like without anything skinned on top of it. It's just
pretty much artificial intelligence navigating the mesh.
Exactly. So they can walk around. I would imagine that the bears probably walked right through the new military bases and stuff. Because some of the mesh was changed for that.
Well, but we've had it where zombies go through doors, zombies, I'm hoping.
I don't know if that's because that's not the house is not part of the mesh. Is it?
Well, I don't know. It could be though. It could be the path that it takes to get from point A to point B. It makes it go around that correctly.
Okay. So it
could possibly be fixing some of those things where we see zombies go through doors and come through the floors.
Mm-hmm. Another thing they fixed in this was several client crash fixes. Those are just generic issues with that. Updated textures and they added objects, and then some animation adjustments. This was kind of a really small patch, and I would imagine they did other things in this patch too that they didn't mention.
Okay, so actually, and if you look, I made a second note.
Okay,
and that's actually on the issue tracker. I wanted to kind of point this out that on the issue tracker, I went and looked at what things they implemented as fixes for that day.
Okay,
so like some things that they fixed, four things on the 17th. You can now chop down trees with your fists. Or you can. That was a bug.
Are you sure you're not on the 16th?
Okay, sorry. I'm looking at the 16th first. Yeah. So this is the 16th. They made it so you can't chop down trees with your fists anymore. An issue where when you placed a flare, died while placing a flare made it so you couldn't respawn. Passwords on doors did not disappear after bringing up your inventory.
That was a problem,
Yeah, and then you're able to pass through walls in a certain apartment. You know, some of the apartments in Pleasant Valley, you could actually walk through the walls. So that was something they fixed there. And then on the 17th, I'm seeing the 17th. I put the wrong link. So
on the 17th, they fixed an issue with clipping with the Cranberry Police Station. There was issues where zombies and people could clip in through there. Mm-hmm. There was another issue where you would get stuck inside of a vehicle. That was from time to time as well. Mouse look / cursor detach. This is when you would be looking and like your mouse would it would almost lose sync with the game.
Yeah.
Which I saw a post on, I think I saw a post on Reddit about somebody actually demoing that. So that's all fixed. The warehouse, there was some clipping issues with one of the warehouses. And then they just rotated the loot spawn in another one of the warehouses.
Because if you looked at those warehouses, some of them, the doors were now like away from the entrance area of the warehouse area. Mm-hmm. They were totally flipped. And I wasn't sure if they did that on purpose to kind of get people running around the outsides more, but I guess that was a bug.
Yeah,
to have done that.
It says test in parentheses. So I think they were testing that to see what it would do.
And well, that may or may be on the test server, but it was on the regular servers too.
Oh, okay.
So,
Yeah, this is a test server patch, so I'm not sure.
So they've got those, but maybe they fixed it on the test server. It'll be rolled out. So we may run around. I haven't gone and looked at those warehouses since this patch. It may be that on the regular servers, they're still flipped. Right. And maybe on the test servers, they've done it, so it'll roll out later.
Okay. And then that's the 17th. That was Friday. And then, of course, Saturday and Sunday, there was no development done then. And then Monday, there was a patch. Actually, it was last night. So, you know, sometime either early this morning
or last night. Yeah, because they said they pushed it around about 7:30 Pacific. So, I mean, it was pretty late in the evening.
For East Coast people, yeah.
Yep. And this was on the test server that they did.
Yeah. There was pretty much, they said the BR flow is a little cleaner now. Farmers, so this is a big thing, and hopefully this actually works. They're saying farmers will notice their crops should still be there. I'm assuming that means when the servers are resetting, crops are not disappearing anymore.
Yes.
Is that a safe assumption?
That's what I'm thinking, is because that's one of the biggest deterrents for people farming lately is their crops are constantly resetting.
Yeah, like to the fact, God, this is probably two or three months ago now. But when the server had huge crash issues, the servers were crashing, like every 3-4 hours? So you could never farm anything. Because by the time you're ready to harvest your crops or do anything with them, you would have a complete server restart, and those crops would reset back to nothing. And then just a few more minor crash fixes. They're really hitting the crash issue.
Yeah. Well, that's been a big deterrent. You haven't run into it as much, I don't think. I haven't run into it a huge
amount.
I've
never had a problem with it, though. I think I almost wish I did, because
you can see what they're
talking about. There's people in our group that would crash a dozen times a day.
Because I know Musty can hardly play right now, you know, or at least as of a couple days ago.
With crashing.
Would constantly be crashing.
I never had a crash issue. Computer. And I know you never really had a crash issue either. Well, I mean, time to time.
And we discussed last week that you and I both have a lot of memory on our computer. That could be a major reason that we don't see that, is because our memory doesn't max out as quickly to where we can go. And it may be eating up a ton of memory in the background, but we don't notice it.
Yeah, I'm gonna start playing with Task Manager again, and see what the memory stuff is like now compared to where it was, you know, a few months ago.
And Musty just said in chat it's much better now. So for these people that have maybe not even lower end machines, but let's say they've got 4 to 8 gigabytes of RAM.
I mean, 4 gigs is what comes with every standard computer now. So that's possible. Somebody playing on a lower budget laptop could easily have 4 gigs of RAM.
Yeah. And so I think that would be something, especially in a laptop, that these people are going to run into a lot more often.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you said you have 16 gigs of RAM.
I have 16, you have 32.
So it would take a while for ours to build up.
You would have to have the game open for days for, I think, it to crash on memory, for it to eat up, you know, 10 plus gigs of memory.
So hopefully, you know, that's what I'm hoping. And one thing, if people want to go and see these bugs, because I made a note in here, if you look at the top of the issue tracker now, and I've never noticed this before, it says downtime update 2. Still working on 5 blocking issues, should be up later this week. I've never noticed them commenting on the issue tracker before.
What game is that for, though?
Because
that's on the dashboard for the entire issue tracker.
I wonder if that is a planet side one.
I don't know what a blocking issue is.
Well, okay, so 5 blocking issues, probably.
I think it's got to be for another game.
I know with releases, a blocking issue is something that makes it so that they're not going to put it out because of whatever issue. So I don't know if they're saying there's some updates that they have that they're not putting out because they're not done yet. But it could be that's for EverQuest Next, Planet Side 2. They should really put a note.
Like a little, something.
Because this issue tracker covers every single game.
Yeah, all the Daybreak games. I'm trying to follow Reddit and see if there's anybody commenting.
But yeah, it says should be up later this week. I'm assuming because they're doing this big push on H1Z1 that it's probably relating to that.
All right.
But they should really put H1Z1 downtime update 2.
Yeah. Well,
because right now you have...
There hasn't been an H1Z1 downtime, though. Oh, well, a downtime. Are they considering their patch thing, these 2 weeks, is downtime because they're not doing, I don't know. This is speculation, folks. This is the finest
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't really make any sense, but maybe this is, if we can't sit here and figure it out, maybe that means that they should really fix that note, because we can't even tell what they're talking about.
Yeah, that's a bit of a problem.
Downtime update too. So maybe it's an old message that they never cleared out.
Well, I've never seen it before. I'm not. Yeah, I mean, I know you frequent the issue tracker more than I do, but I've never seen this.
And I assumed, and exactly, I assumed that it was H1Z1 only. But then I had gone into like a Planet Side 2 accidentally, and it was still there. Yeah. So I was like,
because it's on the it's on the just the dashboard, the dashboard of the issue tracker. So
yeah,
I don't know.
But definitely check out the issue tracker, because on there you can sit there and filter it by releases. If you go, because that's how I found those ones, is I went and looked, okay, on this client patch, what other things did they patch? Because it's kind of difficult to find them.
Yeah, the issue tracker is definitely not the easiest to navigate. Brian, maybe that's what you should do for tips of the week in upcoming weeks. How to navigate the issue tracker.
Yeah. And one thing that they did say is they're going to be putting out a master compilation of the patches.
Yes.
For this 2-week patch cycle.
Which is good.
Because right now he says Legion CM said that they were compiling the list now. Of course, that was 4 hours ago. So I was kind of hoping that they would get it out before our show.
Where did you see that post on?
So there was a post on Reddit that says, after these 2 weeks of quality of life patching are over, can you get a list of what the devs fixed? Okay. And then the comment that Legion CM made was, yes, I'm actually compiling this list now. It's going to be pretty extensive. I'm happy to, and he says, happy to saw.
Well, I think he means after probably the 2 weeks he's working on compiling it now.
So it may be that once the 2 weeks,
yeah, that's what I would assume.
Done, he will put out a master list of, here's everything that we did, which would still be cool. I mean, it'd be to know, because so many times they leave those things out.
Well, I mean, in this case, I think you look at it, it's these posts that they're putting on Reddit, I mean, they're so vague. There's stuff that they're fixing, but it's just like, they're not bothering putting it in the patch notes, which they really should, because if they're fixing bugs, they need people to test it. And if there's a bug where, you know, for example, the axe isn't working properly on something, and they don't put that in the patch notes, but they say they fixed it, how can people test it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the whole point. It's not that we need this transparency. We need to know everything you're fixing. It's just so that we can go in the game and try to break it.
The issue tracker is so difficult to navigate, as you said.
Yeah, it's confusing. I truly don't even understand how to use it.
That it would be really nice, even if they had a button that says, show the latest patches since, you know, if they created one button that did the filters for you, just to say, all right, on this patch cycle, what was changed? On this patch cycle, what was changed? Because right now I have to go in and find it and then click a couple buttons, get there. All right, here's what was patched during this patch. But there's no way to easily get to it.
Mm-hmm.
So now someone in chat had mentioned, and this is something I didn't put in the chat the notes, but I did say, or did see on here. It says, did anyone notice that clan ban that they did?
No.
Did you hear about that?
I did not.
So there was a message that they'd done on a ban notification that said this person was obviously cheating, and then pretty much stated that they banned that whole clan.
Okay.
Which, you know, I don't know.
They banned the entire clan?
That's what they said. They said this clan is banned.
What clan was it?
I'll try to find it. Maybe someone in chat can,
hacking clans before, and we've reported the entire clan, and that's risky. That's real risky business to do. Banning an entire clan. That's pretty ballsy.
Well, yeah, it is.
I mean,
but
it is.
This is something we've kind of asked for.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is for anybody that hasn't played in a large group, there are obvious, and we've dealt with them before, there are obvious groups of people that hack. And even if not everybody in the group is hacking, but 3/4 of the group is hacking, I mean, that whole group should be banned. And we've reported, Brian, I mean, you've sent reports in with, 10, 15 names from an entire clan of people that are hacking.
Okay, so here's an example. And so there's been more than one, because this isn't the one that I saw.
Okay.
So it said someone, someone, and someone else. They named 3 names. And it says, you're banned for supporting someone who's obviously cheating, followed by basically everyone holding the police station. We're working with a cheater and are banned.
Ah, so it was a group of people that were all at
this
a certain
is one
location.
Of them. The other one I saw was an actual clan.
Ah, so in this case, there was it appears a cheater holding up the police station and everybody that was in that police station with that guy, which in that case really blows. Because there could have been people that are just...
That's a strong deterrent to not mess around and play with. If you know another guy is hacking, it doesn't matter anymore. This is something we've run into so many times. You'll have one person... Mm-hmm. You'll have one person that's sitting there and hacking away, and these other people will be with them, and they'll be like, and those people feel like you can't do anything to me because I'm not the one hacking, and they'll have one throwaway account.
Yeah.
This is going to take that away. The safety of that. Or if you see someone that you can tell is clipping around, doing whatever, if they're going to follow you, because then they have the ability to shadow people in game. If they're going to shadow you and see that you are obviously aware that this person is hacking, you're watching them hack, then they know that you are part of it. And I think this is a good way to get rid of those clans that have one person in there that hacks, two people in there that hack. This is going to clear them out.
Yeah.
So
it's a good deterrent, but I hope that they're watching because, I mean, I hope that they're shadowing and they're seeing who is actually doing this stuff because there's situations where I'm sure there's, you know, fresh spawn people running around and stuff inside the police station. The hackers are just not bothering with them. This is good because it's not a secret that there are clans of people that are just hacking.
Yeah.
So it's just whole groups of people, 5, 10, 15 people, and they're all pretty much hacking. So it's a good... But see, if they had a real clan system, this would be 1,000 times easier.
Yeah. Well, they'd be able to see that they are legitimately grouped.
Because that's a problem, 100%. Is you can have people trashing somebody else's name with just... You know, throwing a name in front of their character name.
Yeah.
So that's like I said, they got to be careful with something like that.
Okay. So here's another message, and I'll actually put a link into chat too. So this is a screenshot.
Oh, okay.
And here's someone that was confirming. So they put out a banned message that said H1Z1 GM has been banned for cheating. Okay. And they said okay. Then they put out a message right after that. It said not a real H1Z1. H1Z1 GM, mind you, you won't see them except in crow form. So they're pretty much flying around as birds, watching people, which I don't know. They don't even need a legitimate form in game. I don't know why they're just not like a pixel or something.
Well, I don't know how that actually works, but I guess. I mean, of course, they're shadowing. I mean, that's just what they're doing.
But I think it's interesting that they feel like they have to be an animal to do this.
I think that's figurative. Crow.
No. They say that they actually spawn in as animals.
Oh.
Sometimes they'll be a bear. They'll be a wolf. They'll be a I guess most of the time they're crows and they are bunnies. So if you see a bunny that's not running around quite as random as it should.
Kill it. Spy rabbit. Get rid of it.
Remember that one time that we had that rabbit that just would not die?
Yeah, that may have been them.
It may have been them watching because we were shooting it in the head so many
times.
That's
a really good YouTube video. That for anybody, check out the Infection YouTube channel. Actually, it's a pretty funny video. I think I have that right here. But you know what? There you go. That was really early on, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were necessarily doing that at that point. That was a really long time ago.
But that seems to be how they do this. And I don't see, you know, someone had said they saw that clan ban. He said they listed the clan tag and then the base location and that the base had doors removed to be looted. And I actually saw a message like that as well.
Well, that's happened one other time as well.
Yeah.
There was a group ban on one of our servers.
Now they didn't remove the doors. I think that that's something that they started doing after us.
Ah, okay. Because all the doors were open.
Yeah, so that was the first time that I had ever seen it was when we were encountered that where they sent a message saying, oops, doors were left open. But I think that has become more common now to where when there's a hacking clan, they'll remove the doors or they'll make sure doors are left open for those
people. It's a good practice so that all that loot's not just lost, right? At least people can go and try to legitimately claim it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily that it's going to be lost. It'll just sit in the containers, I guess, for 2 weeks.
I just mean lost in terms of nobody will be able to use it. Like, it's just, it's lost. Nobody's going to blow up that base. So, opening up the doors and letting people go fight for it it keeps people active on the game and it gets people out raiding and killing people.
Yeah.
So that's a nice.
So that's been something I think for the last month, about a month that I've seen them. At least people on Reddit have been commenting that they've been seeing those messages now saying that this door is left open. So hopefully that's something that they continue to do. And now they start, you can run around. If you're going to join a hacking clan, you're going to be a high possibility of banned. I think that, as we were going back earlier, that I think is going to be one of the biggest things to kill these hacking clans.
Yeah. I mean, it's like you said, Brian, it's a total deterrent for these people. It's a total deterrent. Like, you're not going to screw around with the hacking clan anymore.
Yeah.
Because now you're liable of getting killed. Or not even getting killed, getting banned.
Yeah. And hopefully we start to notice that. I've only seen the messages on Reddit for that. I haven't seen them in person.
Well, I think they only do it on the server that they're banning.
I don't know.
Because in that case, there's no reason to broadcast it.
But see, I have seen the doors left open message on server wides, and it wasn't our server. So, but I haven't seen the whole clan is banned message on live. So that one, I'm assuming is still. I don't know if they have a way to ban or to send these messages on specific servers. I've never seen them actually do that.
They must be able to. I mean,
but I don't think as a practice they're actually doing that.
Well, let's get into some new content, Brian, because you kind of teased that at the beginning of the show. They have been working on new stuff. And our first thing is from Sebastian. He was very active this week. And it's a new water effect, and it's kind of how the vehicles react in water. And for people watching the stream or watching after the fact, I would recommend you go to the show notes and actually look at this because it's probably going to be hard to see.
Yeah, it's a Vine video.
But it's a Vine, and you can see right here the water effects trailing the car. But when he stops is where you see the water's a little murky, and then it clears up after a few seconds.
A ripple effect out from the tires and everything.
Like water actually would when you're moving. And then when you stop, in this case it's sped up, but you stop and then those ripples hang around for a few seconds, and then it's gone and the water's calm again, just like it was before. So that's a nice, that's some new cool stuff that they're working out with the water.
And that's one thing I'm always harping on is that immersion and realism.
Yeah.
And those are the little things that I notice when your car stops and you have that realistic view, it looks like you're actually driving through water and it has an effect, like ripples go out from your car. I think that's cool.
Yeah. So it's stuff that they're adding, right? Get little stuff like that. And just adding to making the game more realistic as it can get.
Some of the things they did mention that they are working on the animations of characters.
Yeah.
I think that's another thing too, because I notice sometimes my character runs and he just looks like a big goof.
Yeah, it's not smooth. The character animations are just not smooth.
I mean, if they can get it, I mean, take it for instance, a look at a game like GTA 5. Mm-hmm. If you look at how the character runs, how the character moves in the world, it's very, very realistic. I mean, it's how you would expect someone to run and how you'd expect them to move. So I assume that's kind of the feel that they're going for. Of it looks like you're actually running and not, you're not doing some weird, like my arms are pumping at my sides in some really awkward, like jogging motion. If they can get it to where it actually looks like you're running normally, that's going to make it to where I don't know. Just it makes me feel like this is weird.
Yeah, but
the guy's running with his arms to his side.
There are so many games that have issues with like this, with just the player movement is not smooth.
Yeah,
I feel like they can get to a certain point, and then it's just you get what you get.
Yeah, but those are things that they have to program in. So I think there's a point of all right, how much are we going to harp on this? And this is an effect, a repeated effect. So it's. They probably have to put some randomness as far as your arm movements to make it feel more natural.
Exactly. So that's the new water effect. That's going to be coming soon. We've also got some hats, Brian.
Yes. And so I went and looked, and these are, they're the same model, but they're variations of skins. Yeah. And they're called the Boonie hat.
And it's also known as a bucket hat. That's what they're typically known as, or a fishing hat. It's the hat you would wear when you go fishing. So we can take a look at these right here. There are five of these hats. Like Brian said, same model, five different skins. We just got our first one, which is just a regular tan hat. Our next one is kind of a floral.
Like Hawaiian.
Exactly.
Style.
Hawaiian theme hat. Third one is a red one with white boat anchors.
Yep.
Our fourth one is a camo, just a regular
green camo.
Yep, regular army green camo. And then the fifth one is more like a marsh camo. It almost looks like a barbed wired marsh camo.
No, I think it's a snake skin.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I think that is snake skin is what it is, like a texture of snake skin laid on top of the hat.
Okay.
From what I can tell. I mean, that's what it looks like to me.
Well, there you go.
So...
Okay, so that's a five new hat skins. Well, first of all, a new type of hat, and then five skins for that hat. And those will be coming in the game within the upcoming weeks. And so that's what we're waiting on. That's just some of the new content they've been working on over the past week here, and stuff that we can plan to see pretty soon. Now, Brian, Team BR, you mentioned it's still broken.
So it doesn't kick you out. If your person that's like, for me, every time in the lobby, the person would lose connection. It used to be that it would kick you out the second that happened. The second they disconnected, like when the game started, it would kick me out. Now it lets you keep playing. So that is a benefit. But they did unlock it for both the US and the European region, so you should be able to play it either both places.
Now, I believe that's just the two person that's unlocked, correct?
Two person, yes.
Yeah, so they're still having big problems with the five person BR. That's not even available right now. But I know everybody gives me crap for being so negative, but in this case, I mean, Jesus, like, did they not test the group BR at all? I want to play devil's advocate here and be like, you know, there was a prop. It's been a train wreck. Group BR has been out for 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
And it's just not working. I mean, I don't know what was overlooked in testing.
Yeah.
But something was not done properly. And it's been a total disaster.
I mean, it could be a lot of these bugs are just really starting come to bite them again. You know, some of these bugs maybe that they've ignored, and they've hit this point of, all right, we really need to work on this.
Yeah.
And because maybe there's some bugs that now that they're trying to do these five-man BRs and have all these things coordinate together, that they're really becoming a problem.
Nisco's asking, what is broken in group BR? Group up with people. It kicks one person
five-man,
out.
So five-man BRs are not possible at the moment. And then right now there's no rewards.
There's no reward system. It's just, I don't even know. And then Ango is saying there's not enough people at Daybreak to test, but that's the whole point of the test servers. Is they don't need people at Daybreak to test.
We keep bringing this up, though. They really need to come up with motivation for people to test. Because, I mean, you're having a hard enough time getting people to play regular at the moment, right?
Skins.
I mean,
I'm telling you, keys to success, skins. Give people skins.
Yeah.
You're building your whole game model on skins. You can't give out a few free ones for people people working on the test. Even if they're skins that are already in the game, just be like, hey, we're giving out this skin if you play on the test server either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Log on and play for an hour.
I think even if it were random, kind of like what the crates are, you know, the crates.
I mean, they don't even need to put that much time into it. They could just, you know, play for an hour over the weekend, and we're giving out this skin for everybody that's on the test servers for an hour. There you go. I mean, that would involve them not having to do anything, but just log how much time you're on the test servers. They've really got to get people on those test servers so that stuff like this doesn't happen. This has been a complete train wreck of them trying to release this group BR.
Well, yeah. I mean,
we're going on the second week.
Don't, the fact that the prizes don't work is frustrating.
How do they work in the regular BR? I mean, are they really that much different that they work in the regular BR but not in the group?
So right now when my person that was doing it with me had crashed out, and it said there is still a chance that you might have won an award, and then it kicked me out when I finally died. And so, I mean, there is a different mechanic to where when that you die, you don't immediately get your reward, but still it shouldn't be that much different.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah. I want to stay positive. I want to be positive. It's just, they're making it really, really hard right now to be positive. There's just a lot of stuff where it was like, how did this happen?
See, but that's what this 2 weeks is about. I mean, this is what this whole 2 week period is dedicated to them fixing these problems.
I guess, but this group BR thing should not be a problem. I mean, it's unbelievable.
But at least they've disabled the five man, right?
I guess. I mean, it probably doesn't work at all. They probably just disabled it because it straight up doesn't work.
Well, probably the grouping part of it doesn't work correctly.
So if that, I mean, then it doesn't work.
Yeah. And so I'd assume because everything else about the two-man is broken, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it, what is happening in a two-man BR that's functioning other than the fact that you can land and fight?
Yeah. That's it.
I mean, okay, now they do the name tag being above the other player. That does work.
Okay.
So that is one thing they did implement, is that when you are playing with someone else, you can now see their name tag, like as if you're grouped with them.
Ah, so you won't accidentally turn around and shoot them thinking they're the enemy?
Yes, just like what Nick likes to do to me whenever I do BRs.
I don't think Brian and I have played a BR together since that happened 3 months ago.
For good reason.
Yeah. Zig is saying in chat they need a full month. They probably
that's what we originally asked for, but yeah. they took the rest of the month.
I have a feeling this 2 week is going to be at least another week. We're halfway through, and Group BR still doesn't work.
Well, and they put out
more than halfway through.
They put out a note on Reddit saying, "All right, what are some of the fixes? What should we focus on this coming week?"
Yeah,
and so there were some really long responses. Of different things to fix. So I would be very surprised if by the end of the week that at least the two-man BR is still not working. I just can't imagine them not having fixed. I mean, like Hanny, he put out just a bug list.
It was a laundry list of bugs, and it's perfect.
It was like a website's page of bugs.
Yeah, which is great. Because that's what we need.
With descriptions, with exact examples of here is what I'm seeing.
And you know what? And you want to know the worst part, Brian? They're going to disregard half of it. They will not even make a reference to half of it. And then the issues will continue to be in the game. I mean, that's the biggest problem.
Well,
you've had bugs on Reddit for months now. And they've been on their issue tracker. They've been confirmed to being a bug, and they don't do anything with it. I mean, they keep asking for more, more, more. Fix this crap that's already reported on your issue tracker.
All right, so let's take a look at the issue tracker really quick since we're talking about this.
And, where do I need to go?
So go to the H1Z1 dashboard.
Okay, I'm there.
And then if you look at the created versus resolved chart, it should be in green on the lower right.
Yeah, can I make
that more towards the lower right of the first page?
Oh, I made it full screen so people can see here.
So these are the active, the number of open, acknowledged, bugs that are out there, number created and resolved. It's a comparison of how fast the bugs are coming in versus how fast they are actually fixing these bugs.
Yeah, and red is the issues created, and green is the ones that have been resolved.
Yes, and if you look at around July 10th to the 12th, there was pretty much 2 days there where there was no fixes. I would assume that's the weekend, right?
Okay. Yep.
But if you look before that, they were kind of generally going along side by side.
Yeah.
From July 2nd to up to that point.
Yeah.
They were going up consistently, but then there was a huge jump.
July 8th is when that jump started.
And isn't that when they put out a pretty big patch then?
July 8th was a Wednesday. So yeah, that Tuesday would have been a patch.
So that was that major content that they had put out of just a gigabyte worth of, well, of updates.
That, yeah, that was when they first announced Group BR, put it in the game, I believe, was on the 8th.
But that's not all of these bugs. But they had put out a major update at that point, and so the number of bugs jumped up. But if you look at now, since they're not trying to constantly push out content over the last week, right?
Yeah.
The number of bugs being reported and active bugs has tapered off and become very level. It's hit right around a little 200-ish. But the fixes are starting to catch up. And if you look, I mean, they can have a little bit of a range of active versus open bugs, but they really need to work on keeping that.
And yeah, you're always going to have a little bit more because they're not being fixed the second they come in. They have to be reported and tested and stuff like that.
But if you look at the 12th, I mean, just look at how rapidly, that's when they pretty much said, we're going to, I think that's the point where they really started working on this and just dumping everything into fixing. Mm-hmm. And it has made a huge difference.
Yeah.
I mean, the number of open bugs, you kind of have to look at the chart underneath of that, the little blue one. You know, that kind of shows a period, and you can see that it is lowering. The number of issues is going down now. Mm-hmm. So, but I think that's a good way to kind of keep an eye on, are they keeping up? Because for a period of time, I mean, there was like a 60 point swing, I guess you could say,
difference.
Number of open bugs versus what they're resolving. And so if they would have kept it at that pace and keep pumping out content, imagine where they'd be now, you know, after this last week. I mean, they'd be to where we're at 300 bugs, you know, and they're fixing 150.
Exactly. And now here's the other thing. They shouldn't stick to this 2 week thing. If they get to, well, the 2 weeks will end next Tuesday is when, so a week from now is when they'll be done with their 2 weeks. If there's still a lot of bugs, they just need to extend it another week.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. You know, people may not like that there's no new content for another week and maybe you'll take a player hit for a week, but don't just be like, oh, well, 2 weeks is over. Let's just roll with what we have. Because then, and then in another 2 months, you're going to have to do another 2 weeks because there's going to be, you know, that many more issues.
Now, the issue tracker, and some of this may be cleanup because H1Z1DB in chat has mentioned that they're going through a process of reevaluating the issue tracker. One thing I did notice is they went through and they found a lot of the bugs that were reported in January that they never addressed.
Yeah.
They went through and sent a message of, okay, this bug was reported in January. There's been such drastic changes in the game now that we're going to close this bug. If you see that the bug is still open, resubmit it. Because there's so many bugs, and that's, as you said, they're reevaluating the issue tracker. That doesn't work over a long period of time.
Of course not.
Because those bugs that originally...
Look at what this game was like in January. I mean, just look at January compared to now. A bug
had bugs in there in the issue tracker that have been open for 6 months.
Yeah. And, you know, the first problem is why would that go 6 months without being resolved?
Well, okay, that is the first problem. But the problem is that it's still there, even though the bugs probably is not there. It was never marked as resolved. It was never addressed. But in the issue tracker, it looks really bad. And it creates a bog down in the system. If they could come up with something that is a little bit better way of doing the issue tracker that makes more sense to people, to where you have this bug will be open for 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
If it's not addressed in 2 weeks, we are going to close the bug and send a message to the person saying they need to reopen it so that they keep getting notified that the bug is there. But if it's going to sit there for a month, 2 months, 3 months, the changes between that period of time and when that bug is still sitting on the issue tracker, as I said, is so drastic that it's probably not relevant anymore.
Yeah. Now, African Jesus is saying in chat, he says a lot of the issues aren't worth fixing at the moment because they'll probably break again in a future update. And I don't disagree with that. But at some point, then you need to close the ticket and just tell the person, hey, we're planning a patch. This will probably be fixed then. You don't need to resolve every bug, but you sure as hell cannot have a bug report open for 5 months. I mean, that just poorly reflects on the game and the company.
Okay, so here's one. Here's one is an example that's been open since January 16th.
Okay.
Right? It says, game closes every time I start recording on OBS. It says it's confirmed. It says it's unresolved. You know, there's been a lot of comments on it, but I mean, we've opened up OBS, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to try it now. But yeah, now, I stream with the game all the time.
I think that the issue is, and this is, but the fact they're not commenting on this is, I run in windowed, full screen windowed mode.
Okay. See, I don't. I run in windowed mode.
See, but still, that I think the issue is with that. Well, why don't they mention that? You know, just this bug has been open for 6 months. It's over 6 months now. This bug is sitting here on the issue tracker.
Unresolved. You know,
unresolved. But it really, we don't know if it is a problem.
No. It could have been an issue 6 months ago, and it may have been just fixed with something else they did.
And it could be very easy for them to go in and say, all right, you know, if you're running OBS, you know, and they, because they haven't added full screen windowed mode that I know of, I had to go in and edit the .ini file to make it do that. And so why don't they add a checkbox that says, and then put a note that says, you know, if you're running recording software, you should probably check this box. And that would fix this problem. But it's not been addressed. And the only comments that I see are actually, you know, I mean, they make some notes on it, but they pretty much say, you know, we're trying to emulate this. We're trying to, you know, see. And then they said, moderator said, in June, is this still happening? You know, nice. And so for them, they should close this bug and see if someone reopens it, because
why is that? Yeah. I mean, yeah, I could see in January with them with probably real bugs in the game. They're probably like, screw an OBS crashing issue, right? Like we've got big problems with our game here, but the fact that they didn't close it and they just left it open sitting in limbo.
Yeah.
It's just not good. There's got to be a better way.
This is definitely proof of how this issue tracker is not the best.
Maybe they just need to wipe the issue tracker. Can they do that?
Why they need to have an expiration on the issue tracker.
No. Well, you know what they could do after these 2 weeks? They could just wipe the issue tracker clean.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a possibility, right? Of course, yeah. They would save a backup, but just wipe it clean. There are zero bugs and zero resolved issues on the issue tracker.
If you have a bug from here on out, maybe they could even wipe it with every wipe, like every major version.
Well, no, because they want to keep, because I think they want to keep. I don't think that's good, because if there's bugs that happen, they close it. You can reopen a closed bug. They should do that. They should keep it open. But at this point, when you've got stuff in there from January, wipe your issue tracker clean.
If it's an unconfirmed bug from 6 months ago, because that means that they haven't gone through and said, all right, this is legitimate. If they have a confirmed bug that is sitting in the issue tracker, that means that they agree that it is a bug. Mm-hmm. Okay, keep those in there. But the ones that are unconfirmed, that no one's ever gone to even bothered to say, hey, this is a legitimate bug. I guess I hate to do it, but at least wipe them out so that people will put in new, fresh versions of that bug saying, we confirmed that it's happening on this version.
Yeah, that's good. And I understand that they should keep the stuff locally. But I don't think it would be a bad idea to have a clean slate for after these 2 weeks, so that if people that have an OBS crashing issue can go and report it if they still have that problem.
Yeah. Well, they'll have to figure that out. I mean, if they could come up with a way that people felt like the issue is still being followed, you know, make it a little more public. But working on Reddit was not working. I mean, Internet Chickies made a comment, you know, people reporting bugs on Reddit.
Well, because they're asking for bugs on Reddit.
Okay, on that specific post, but I still see so many people making comments and making suggestions and doing all these things on Reddit that don't, you know, are realistically probably not going to be noticed.
Yeah. But
how else do you get Daybreak to notice it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what people go to.
Yeah. Now, I do see them, like someone had commented, we've been talking about electricity, right?
Yes.
We keep talking about electricity. So someone made a comment saying, hey, electricity, I think it'd be cool to have generators. didn't we talk about that last week?
Yeah. Now, the stuff that they made these images here, these fan mock-ups, I'm not crazy about these. This is post-apocalyptic. Realistically, there's not going to be generators like this. And if there were...
Well, I mean, there will be for a period of time.
There will, but
they're,
I think
they're not going to seem very new after a certain period of time.
I think having just regular, more of a DIY generator would probably be, you know, maybe a car turbo and a battery and a gas jug would be a better representation, even though a car turbo really isn't a generator, but just making it look like that. I mean, This is what you would go out to Home Depot and buy, you know, before this is what I would go to Home Depot and buy before we're projected to get, you know, 25 feet of snow. This is I mean, that's what you would buy. Not something you're going to find in a post-apocalyptic game.
I'd be totally cool with if you could come up with some sort of rough looking engine. Like, okay, so he's talking H1Z1DB saying craftable generators.
Yeah.
So some really rough looking form of engine, pickup, a lawnmower
truck turbo,
engine,
something.
No,
like
even
that.
Even a lawnmower engine that you're then hooking to a car, 12 volt generator, right? Like a alternator.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I mean, just make it look really rough.
Yeah, like, that's the whole point.
That lawnmower is just turning the alternator and it's generating you 12 volts for your light bulbs and whatever else things mm-hmm. you could come up with that are cool in game. I mean, that for me, be like, all right, this is cool. And then make it so out of the cars you can loot an alternator.
Yeah, now, don't get me wrong. These images are great. The concept art is the quality of this is unbelievable. Don't get me wrong. It's just It doesn't fit a post-apocalyptic zombie game. And I know they'd be available for a few days, but a scrap generator would work fine. That's realistically what you'd want.
And this is something where you could have a nice version. Like, this is the deluxe version.
Yeah.
Maybe if they put in some, maybe in Zims. Like,
better fuel efficiency on these than you would get on the other one.
Very rarely and randomly at Zims, this would show up. Because, like, if you were the first person to Zims in, you know, whatever you consider your Zims in the local area, mm-hmm. post-apocalypse, you may get a generator.
Yeah.
And so that could be a very rare thing. But then come up with these really rough, like, here's what we put together. Because, of course, all of those things are in, and let's say all the power went out across the whole United States. Those would only last one day.
Yep, pretty
realistically,
much.
And then they'd be gone.
Yeah, and then you have to just loot them from bases and other people's houses.
So then we'd be running around to people's backyards, finding lawnmowers, stealing alternators out of people's cars. That, for me, is realistic.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I like the idea. These are just a little, in my opinion, a little too clean for me. But yeah.
But that's concept. I mean,
it's concept. Exactly. It's concept. They're great. Whoever's watching this is like, ah, screw these infection guys. The concept is great. Please. Like you're doing amazing work. But this just, it doesn't fit a zombie apocalypse game.
Yeah.
So that's electricity.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll have to see. This is something we've been talking about. And one thing that Cycles McCurtz said is, I'm a big fan of electricity.
Yeah. So they have hinted at electricity more than once now. Of course, the dam can be a source of electricity. They posted that. Brian, you reminded us 2 weeks ago, they posted that light post thing with the straw poll probably 3 or 4 months ago.
Nothing ever came from
it. They know at some point there will be working lights, you know, just working doors, like a sliding door or something like that, automated door. At some point there will be something like that in the game. But again, like, in my opinion, not top priority right now. I don't really care that they're not working on it right now. That doesn't really bother me. That's fine. Yeah. You know, work on other issues. I don't really care about lights in the game. At least at this point.
Well, this is all stuff, you know, put it out there. I still think it's good to get these concepts. If you're someone who's listening to the show, who's somewhat artistically inclined, come up with these concepts because they seem to really pay attention to them.
Well, remember the GUI concept? They just flat out said they're going to implement that, some of that stuff, into the game.
So if you do have these ideas, even if you're like, okay, I want them to focus on bugs and I don't want them working on this, at least put them up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so here, I mean, someone had made a comment, you know, why can't we make craftable wood wind turbines, you know, that recharge battery? There's all kinds of cool things. If they came up with electricity, player-built electricity, this would open up, and someone made a comment in chat about solar panels.
Yeah.
Those on top of the sidewalk lights, Manstan said. Mm-hmm. Those are everywhere in his town. I mean, these are the kind of cool things that you could then pimp out your base with. Yeah, right?
The only problem is now that now we've got to be careful. This is post-apocalyptic, and realistically, you can't craft a solar panel. You're not going to be
but
able to.
But you can find them.
You can find them. You will not be able to DIY a solar panel. That's not realistic.
But if you can get one in that's actually put together, you could use it to charge some sort of batteries or something.
True. That is possible.
But you would have to be somewhat mechanically inclined. That takes us to, in the notes, the professions.
Yeah, this is a thing.
So this they've added this to the code. So I'm going to read this really quick. So the three that I've seen so far is Park Ranger. And it says, as a park ranger, you have spent most of your days protecting nature and preserving the parklands. While investigating a report of strange behavior from a visiting group of Boy Scouts in the woods, you found yourself in the midst of a zombie attack that had already claimed the lives of the troop at the hand of their infected troop leader. Now that the outbreak has taken hold of your knowledge of survival, your knowledge of survival has prepared you to live off the land while you try to find other survivors. So that's the first one. And I like that they put a little backstory because this is something that we've not really seen here. They just don't seem to do it. It's very, like, everything's very elusive as far as how did we get here? What is this backstory? And, of course, we've commented, go listen to that two-hour broadcast that they did. That's an excellent thing, but that's not very public. Most people don't know about that. So this is going to be one of their first attempts at actually putting backstory into the game.
Yeah, and that's just one of the professions. They've got two other ones as well. Do you want me to take those? You want me to take one? Or
you take Repairman, and then I'll take the
Yeah, so Repairman... So I think we should kind of cover this quick, Brian. The whole thing with professions is you were this profession before the zombie apocalypse, and now that the zombie apocalypse has happened, you're almost like a superhero. You have a certain select set of skills that your player is allowed to use, and if you're in a group, advantage, you know, towards your group. Now, Brian, do you know exactly how the professions are going to work in terms of how you select them?
It will be at character creation. So,
okay.
However that works, that's going to be that they're going to be implementing it then. So I would assume this is going to be actually implemented on a wipe.
Okay. So now let's go back into the other two. The next one, like as Brian said, is Repairman. And it says, as a handyman, you spent your adult life doing an array of things from construction to car repair. You're a genie, Mr. Fix-It, who found yourself at the wrong place at the wrong time while helping a group of people who had stopped on the side of the road with appeared to be a car trouble. You got your first taste of the H1Z1 epidemic. Before you realized it, you attempted to be a good Samaritan, placed you in a life or death situation as you fought off a group of zombified individuals. Now your variety of skills will be put to the test as you do what you can do to survive others and that's hopefully find a way out. So the repairman is going to, like Brian, you said, the mechanical stuff with the solar panel.
This could be something that you have to have a repairman in your group to be able to do certain things.
To wire lights up. You know, regular, a park ranger is not going to have the knowledge to connect the hot and the neutral and the ground. You know, that's not their skill set. You're going to have a repairman to do this kind of stuff.
Yeah. And so I think that would be a really good way to encourage grouping, encourage people having, you know, not having all the same profession or not being all the same. You're going to want to have one person, maybe as a park ranger, you'll have the ability to go and hunt more efficiently to get the animal fat to be able to power the generators. However you want to do that. And then you have the repairman who would actually be able to assemble the generators, assemble the lighting, put certain things together. So that leads us to paramedic, where the story is before the H1Z1 outbreak, you were a hotshot new paramedic. Your training in the field of emergency medicine made you an expert in the realm of field triage. On your last emergency call, you barely escaped when a pack of H1Z1 infected zombies attacked you. Attacked you and your partner and turned to you. In your panic, you fled to the scene, unable to save your partner. Now that the infected has spread, you must rely on your medical skills to survive as you seek out other survivors in hopes that you can find a way to escape the hell of this outbreak. And here's another thing. They're encouraging grouping. If you notice here, they mention that you're looking for other survivors. They're kind of leaving that whole, kill on sight, single person, just running around trying to survive by themselves. They're encouraging you to go seek out other survivors in the storyline.
Yeah. So those are the three that are in the, you said that are currently in the game files?
They're in the game files, but they're not. It's just,
of course, they're not.
They put the language in the game, so they're not actually implemented to where I think where you can see it anywhere.
Yeah, so that's our next step in the right direction. Having the we're not going to even bother talking about the roadmap because that's totally not accurate at all.
Yeah, they're not even referencing it at the moment, from what I can tell.
Rightfully so. I mean, there's no reason. There's no reason to, because they've taken the 2 weeks off.
Yep. So I'm kind of hoping that, we'll see here after a week or two, when they get going into August, they should be having a new roadmap. It'll be interesting to see some of these things, because one thing we didn't really talk about, but I want to make sure we cover, is the hospital.
Yes.
So the medical facility is what they call it, but that has actually been put into the game files. Like the whole buildings have actually been entered into the game files now. So I'm thinking that we're going to actually see that
soon,
in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. And now,
like, not a daybreak soon, like a real soon.
Oh, all right. So Sebastian put a tweet out just before the show started saying that they're they're adding props and adding items and stuff to the medical facility this week. And he posted two screenshots here. And the first one you can see right here is what a medical lab would look like. You've got your sinks there. Those things on the walls is where you would put beakers. This is the lab, right? This is where tests would go and where people would go and get test results. And this is essentially where the doctors would be doing all that stuff. And then there's another image here, which is one of the actual hospital, looks like an ER room almost. The light above it. That's called a gurney, right? Or maybe it's not. But the gurney chair there where the patient would be laying. And that's the second screenshot there. So starting to get a feel for the rooms.
For what it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. Before we just saw a bunch of empties. Bunch of emptiness, and now we're actually like, oh, this will be here, that'll be there.
Yep.
Funny note about this room, though. If you're looking at this picture, you can tell there's no roof. There's no roof. It's just straight reflections from the sun.
Yeah, that is because when they are making these, they're actually doing them a floor at a time.
Yep, exactly.
And then they stack the floors on top of each other. So in the game files, you'll see that, okay, here's one level, here's another level. Until they actually put them together.
Yeah, this is pretty much because we saw that thing 2 weeks ago where it was or maybe it was last week, of the layout of the actual hospital with all the floors. So that's pretty much what they're working on. And then they're just going to stack all those layers on top of each other, and then bam, hospital is there. So that was from Sebastian. Again, a lot of stuff coming from him recently.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, he's their art director, I think is the term.
Yeah. I think so.
So that, he is the one to put this out. And of course he's one of the ones that's still working on content through all these bug fixes, because what is he going to do
in terms of patches?
Yeah. I mean, what's he going to do towards patches other than maybe fixing some art that's not correct? Mm-hmm. They are still going to be putting all these things out. So,
let's go into current players.
Now,
there was something else.
Well, okay. So, yeah, you showed. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that was the right image because I saw that they put the new one out. I got the other one from Sebastian. So Daybreak just reposted it on Reddit.
Oh, it's not an imager. It's the same images.
Okay.
So current players, you made the case that you ran from the southern part of the map.
Yep. So from around the waste dump, east of the waste dump around Wake Hills, all the way to the governor's mansion without seeing a single person.
Yeah, now that's a pretty
pop. On a high pop server.
Did you run on the roads? Or did you run through the...
I ran partly on the roads. I ran right along the road where I would have seen anyone that was on the road.
Hmm. Now, the reason I ask that is because if we look right now, the peak today was 13,000 people. So how are the 13,000 people peaking and currently 11,317 people on and you're not seeing anybody on a high pop server?
Now, I did log in a little bit this afternoon on the regular. I was playing BRs, but I did log in on the regular server. And I stayed at the governor's mansion after I logged out. And so I logged in the basement. There was somebody there. So, I mean, there are people there, but you're not seeing them like through wake hills like you normally would.
Yeah.
You're not seeing them along those roads. You know, when I remember when we used to play on a lower pop server, we would go to a high pop server, and it seems like every major point
was just littered with people.
Yeah.
You couldn't not find people.
Yeah, Nisco says they were hiding from me because I had such good gear.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
I don't think that does it. So, people are playing the game. Like H1Z1DB says, over the past few weeks, there's been a spike in the people that are visiting his site. There's been a spike in the number of players. But as I've been kind of assuming, I'm thinking that these are a lot of these beginner people that have joined with these new sales.
I guess, but where are they playing? Are they just playing on low and medium pop servers?
I mean, they don't know. They're probably looking and saying, oh, that's high pop. I don't want to, you know, they're newer players. They don't want to go in with all of these, you know, with a ton of people. They want to learn how to do things on what they consider a low pop server because they probably figure it's safer.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are doing BRs. Manstan says, you know, BRs. Probably a lot of them, you know, they go in and right now it's not the best time to go in and start doing survival. I mean, there's not the people on there. They're not going to have the best experience doing it. So probably a lot of them are resorting to doing BRs.
And people are also saying PvE and BR.
I mean, they're on different servers. I'd have to look and see has the balance of, you know, we have high pop servers and then a lot of these ones have gone to medium. I mean, that's got to be what it is.
Yeah,
I mean, they're scattered across 100. H1Z1DB says they're scattered across 100 plus servers. Yeah, that's
but,
true.
But it's just weird because when we used to see 11,000 people on, it was like, whoa, there's people everywhere in game.
Yeah, I mean, you go into Pleasant Valley and it's just like tons of people fighting over the police station.
Yeah,
people are everywhere.
And that was when there was like 9,000 people that was still happening. Because it was 9,000 people playing PvP. Yeah. Now it's 11,000 people playing BR, PvP, and PvE. And somebody in the chat said test servers. This number doesn't reflect test servers because it's a different launcher. But the numbers are not accurate. They're not accurately reflecting people playing the normal game mode.
How we would be used to seeing it. Because if you look, I mean, there's the player in the last year. We have mentioned in the past how it's been going down, down, down. But if you look at the end of June, mid to end of June, you know, it jumped up. You know, it's gone down. It went down over a week period, and then it's jumped back up again. And so it's not dropping as dramatically as we have seen in the past, which is good. Because if you look at some of those other ones, like it would stay up for one day and then it drops, you know, 5,000 people. We're not seeing those drastic drops. So I'm thinking, you know, these players are most likely staying. Like the ones that bought this game a month ago, it seems like they're staying in game. Like they're continuing to play. And I think personally that's really good.
Yeah. And it's... Yeah. They're staying in game now. I just hope they work their way from either PvE or BR to PvP, because with so few people on PvP, it's a deterrent for example, for me to log on. The fact that Brian just told me he didn't see a single person means I will probably not log on to H1Z1 until next week, because it's just, there's nobody playing.
And now if we look, these players don't have all these skins that we have, right? So there would be a large benefit for them trying to do BRs constantly because they want to get these hats and shirts that we all take for granted.
It's possible. Yeah.
Because we've got so many hats and shirts. I mean, I've got the camo ones. What else do I need? I'm not doing BRs for skins anymore, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just doing for the sake of BRs. But I guess if you look at these other players, they are actually still playing. They're new. They're still playing BRs trying to get skins. So they're going to be highly motivated to continue doing BRs when they're not going to get a skin from doing a regular survival type of game.
Yeah. So we'll keep you up to date on the current players. We'll report out next week. I really hope this game starts to fill back up with people playing PvP. Because yeah. that's where I play. And you know, and again, another part of my little hiatus has just been there's just not people on playing. And I'm not going to, yeah. like, I think, Brian, you're in the same boat. What do you do? You run all the way up. You don't see a single person. What do you do? You can't find people.
I mean, I ran around. I'm geared. So it's like, okay, now what do I do? I mean, we've got our bases. And so I was like, all right, well, I guess, you know, I'll do some BR. Since I'm running around the governor's mansion not seeing a single person, I'll log out and come back later, see if there's some loot here. And so I logged back in later. There was one person, you know, and I haven't left that area yet.
Did you kill them?
No, because they had run away from me. Like I logged in and they were right there and they ran away.
Yeah. Haru is saying PvP is dead. Yeah.
Until at some point, until they come up with some sort of motivation. And that's, yeah. I mean, that I've said it multiple weeks in a row now, but those weekly type of some sort of a goal to achieve, you know, the power and the, just everything. Sinks. There's so many things they could do. Yes, my famous word, time sinks.
Yeah, now I'm starting to realize time sinks are more and more important now that I realize I'm not playing the game because there's nothing to do.
Because you don't have any time sinks.
Yeah, if that's why I'm saying I'm realizing that's more important, because if there was something for me to log in and do, I would just do that, and then I would continue
to
play.
Even if you got to the point of, I need to help my clan achieve this. Because the reason that I understand this and I know this so well is, I used to do pretty competitive WoW, right? I mean, we were doing all the end game content. It required a large amount of time from me. Now, I hit the point where I had three characters, one of each, you know, a tank, a healer, and a DPS, fully geared to all of the content that you could get other than something that may be really incredibly rare, right? And so what was the reason for me to log in when I've cleared all known content up to that point, and we're just repeating and getting gear for other people? It was that motivation of, I'm going to help my friends get that gear. I'm going to help my friends accomplish this. I'm going to help my friends or my clan, my guild accomplish this, right? That was the reason that I kept logging in week after week, even when there was no reason for me to log in and do anything. And so I think they really need to focus on this game of, what are they going to put in that's going to allow my friends, you know, I'm going to help them. I can't do it by myself. So include those professions, you know, include these other things, but something that we can work together towards, that I require my friends and they require me, so that we all come in.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, that I think that's really what this is going to come down to, is them actually doing that, so that I have a reason. Hey, I need you to be on sometime this week so that we can do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I normally when I have stuff like this, I normally have suggestions on stuff to add. I don't honestly know what they could add right now that would be like, hey, I need to log on to do this. I mean, I know that there's stuff that I can bring up suggestions, but stuff that they can add to the game within the next 2 weeks, I can't really think of anything.
So a way to enable the generators at the dam.
Yeah, but again,
it's like, what's next?
That's not a 2 week thing. That's a long term project.
But it doesn't have to be. Like, what about them putting a switch on the dam that maybe it requires certain materials that are spread across the world that are very rare, that, you know, makes it so you can make something to start the dam up, that then powers the radio tower that puts out a broadcast, a message, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Even if it's not anything super cool, like, have it do that 2-hour broadcast on repeat. That is a start. That is a step.
Yeah.
You know, turn on the generators. All of a sudden, those radios, if you turn to a certain station, whoa, okay, here's that message. And it'll get people in the game hearing that story. And then you can add other things beyond that. But I think that would be an excellent step and make it more difficult to do that. Don't have it be to where, okay, I'm running to PV, I grab this. I run to Cranberry, I grab this. All right, let's power up the generator.
It needs to be one of those things where there's like four or five buttons you have to press at the same time in different locations. Yeah. So it's like you have to have a group of people to do it.
Yeah, that would be cool if they, all right, I am here. We need to reset these fuses, right? Yeah. But we have to do them at the same time. We have to use our radios in unison to coordinate pressing. Well, you could use TeamSpeak, but that would be a reason to use the radios in game, right? Yeah. No one would have an excuse not being able to do that. But all right, we need to reset these in unison so that the generator actually resets and whoom, there's power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Nisco says, take out the fact that biofuel will explode like C4. I totally agree. If I go out with a bow and arrow and I shoot at my gas can, it is not going to explode. I promise you that.
I get it.
But you can light things on fire, right?
Yeah.
I guess if you want. And then maybe it'd be a really slow damage over time. But having...
They have one destruction animation for the biofuel, and that's what it does. At this point, it's not something that they need to do.
It explodes the same way that professional explosives, military style explosives in this game.
I get that, but that's because they have one explosive animation.
But it doesn't have to be the same amount of damage. Have it do a smaller version. I don't think that's something important. And then have it burn over time.
I don't think that's important at this point in the game.
With the base rating, I think it is though. I think
the base rating is the base rating is garbage right now.
Probably a lot of it's because of the crops.
Yeah, right? The base rating is crappy because there's no crop spawning. The second reason is because there's no clan system, so that if a door gets blown up and the person that built the base isn't on, you can't replace the door. I mean, the whole rating system is just garbage because there's nothing to fight
easy.
For. It's too
like
easy.
Internet Chicky in chat saying it's too easy. She says it is easy, but it's too easy.
You just no clip into the base and you blow up one door and you no clip into a base because everybody's using no clip. They no clip into the base. They've got their X-ray mod so they can see the room with all the chests. They have to blow up a single door, which is what, 30, 40 biofuel?
Less than that. Well, I with IEDs.
So whatever amount of explosives you need, and you've got an entire base worth of loot. That's all it takes. Because the hackers are still running rampant.
Yeah.
So, Brian, you said it a few weeks ago, and I could not agree more. They need to disable the rating system. They don't need it. They don't need it right now. It doesn't work.
I mean, once they get the clan system and they get the bases built to where. Like they're actually strong and they're not being hacked into, because right now if they disable the rating system of you cannot blow up a door, right, on a base that's claimed. Mm-hmm. And if someone comes in and steals your loot, you know, it's a hacker.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be a hacker.
It's the only way.
They had to have clipped in and stolen those things. Or someone in your own clan is stealing them, but they'd be able to see that in the logs. Like, this would be a good way to totally cut out people clipping in. If someone comes and clears you out to say, hey, here's my loot container. Someone came in and stole all this stuff. All right. That person's going to get banned because obviously it wasn't legitimate if they didn't enter the code in the door.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's just a lot of things that. There's a lot of things that they could do right now that I think would set up the game for future expansion stuff.
Internet Chicky should make a comment that they use IEDs to blow up the internal doors and it only takes 13 on internal doors. And then now that they have these great towers,
they just jump out.
She could easily jump out. Before, you could kind of not put a way to get up to that second level and a person would be stuck inside.
We used to play staircases in other people's bases. Remember when you used to be able to do that?
Yeah.
Before the grouping system?
Well, before they limited it to where you couldn't build on someone else's.
Yeah, but, before the permission system with the bases. Yeah, that's what we used to do. Jump, make a stair up to somebody's gate, hop over it, and place a staircase in their base, and then just walk out.
Yeah, and Ross Racer in chat is saying also that they're starting to do that damage mod again, where they're able to one-shot cars with bows and arrows. Nice. I mean, I have run into that, and if they can do the same thing to a door, to you, supposedly it looks like a legitimate raid. You don't know that they only did one arrow to blow that up.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
They've got to start tailing it towards the hardcore players.
Well, because the hardcore players are the only ones playing. Everybody else is playing BR. This game's not going to survive on BR. It needs people playing PvP.
Yeah. But that's where they could come up with these other things of something that would get you to log in and at the same time as me.
Yeah.
And get that group mentality built back up. So, you know, get it to where, all right, I need you to log in. Let's reset those switches. Let's get the power going. Let's get the broadcast message going. You know, start building up these other things. I think that is a good start. You know, BR may bring in temporary money, as you know, once they get the they're selling and getting the skins, the crate keys and all that. But over the long term, it's not going to retain everyone. They're going to find another game that has something similar that's going to pull them away. It's going to be the community that keeps people in this game. It has to be the community.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's why we've continued to do the show, right? I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep the people, I mean, honestly, you know, I'm not playing the game right now. And I know there's a lot, our group, nobody's playing the game right now.
Yeah. I mean, well, and the thing is, everybody's logging in at different times. That's kind of the problem is we will have people on at 8:30 a.m., we'll have people on at noon, you know, I mean, different people. We'll have people on it at 2 or 3, you know, people on at 5. I mean, the people are not getting on at the same time because what is the point?
Because, well, here's the problem. People aren't playing for the long amounts of time that they used to. We used to have members like sick that would play for like 6 hours straight because there was stuff to do. Hey, I'm going to farm and all right, guys, we're going to go collect some scrap metal at Zim's. Then we would all collect scrap metal at Zim's, and then our goal was once we collected the scrap metal to find a car to move it to our base that was down by the waste dump. So that was our goal, right? And it would take 4 or 5 hours to get the metal, and then try to get a vehicle or have somebody else get a vehicle and then drive it down. That was when the game was like, oh man, there's stuff to do. Now, you couldn't. What would you do if you were on the game for 6 hours right now? There's nothing to do.
Man says, just 6 hours? No. Sick would get 6 hours of sleep, and then he would play the rest of the time.
It's just... You know, because there was stuff to do and we would be working on stuff. That's when I had fun, when there was a goal and I could spend, I'm not somebody that Brian that plays a game for like more than 2 hours. 2 hours is where I'm like, I got to get up and get out of here. I just can't do it. It just doesn't hold my attention. There were times in H1Z1 when I was like, I play for 3-4 hours and I'd be like, holy crap. You know, it's 11:30. You know, I got to go to school in the morning.
Yeah, and that is the thing, is they're going to have to get it to where people, and as I brought up WoW before, that thing was the problem with that is it required so much of my time that I had a hard time playing it. I mean, it required 6 hours of my time a night. What in this game requires half an hour of my time a day or more? Yeah. I mean, not really anything. Once you build your base... I logged in today. I was like, well, what should I go do? I mean, I could run around and just look for people to shoot. I guess I'll do BRs because realistically, other than going and gathering more materials, which I didn't need, you know, I had ammo. I've got a gun. I've got my armor. I've got my helmet. I've got everything. I don't really need anything else. Okay, well, what am I doing in survival?
Yeah.
And so they got to come up with, okay, I'm going to go do this. You know, something, just something for me to do.
Yeah. I mean, Nisco is saying H1Z1 is more than a full day job. It used to be. Yeah. It used to be where you would have to if your group wasn't, you know, combining like 16, 17 hours a day playing total stuff, you wouldn't have anything done.
Yeah.
Now you're lucky if you've got people for 5 hours total.
Yeah, you get people to play, so you get people to go in and to build things. But the problem has been when you get people clipping into your base, all that time they invested
gone.
That just instantly is wasted, and they don't really want to build a base again because people just clipped into their base.
Joe was the perfect example of that. I remember, God, this must have been probably a month ago now. Joe spent the entire day building up a base that like 4 people knew about.
Yeah.
And he logs off And I send him a message, and I'm like, Joe, the base is getting attacked, and he logs back in, and everything is gone.
Yep.
And it's just like, why the hell am I even bothering? Realistically, that's why am I bothering?
Yep.
And that's the other reason I haven't logged on either, because it's like, what do I have to work towards? There's nothing I'm going to be able to do.
That's where I think if they just for now disable the base, and I keep bringing it up, disable the base rating system. You know, people say, well, what would there then be to do? Well, when you have a bunch of ammo, people will go out and shoot people. Right now, hackers are usually clearing out all of your materials to where you don't have bullets, to where you don't want to go into town because you don't want to risk losing the bullets you have.
Yeah.
Right? If you want this to be PvP, you know, a kill on sight, I mean, because that's kind of what they've aimed towards. If you want that to be what everybody's doing, allow people to build up those materials to where they feel like, all right, I'm going to go into PvP or into Pleasant Valley and I'm going to go shoot people because I'm not worried. You know, I've got some more bullets. I can go back if I die.
Yeah.
Right now, when everything gets stolen on a regular basis, you really lose that motivation to go out and hunt people.
Yeah.
So.
I think we've
beat that horse. But yeah, it's the same thing. They've got to do it. I mean,
I think they
need to do it. I think that the base rating system is currently a large demotivational tool.
It is. It's 100% the reason why I haven't bothered playing, because I've seen this way too many times. You know, me personally, I didn't have as much time to play as everybody else. I didn't have the time. So I wasn't experiencing it firsthand with me losing all the loot that I'd get, you know, worked for all day, but just seeing members of our group time after time after time logging back into nothing being left. It's just like, I don't even want to bother trying to do this. So,
that's the thing. I mean, they're making comments in chat that, you know, a base is nothing more than just collecting all the loot for hackers.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they took away that motivation, like I would then have a reason. Okay, let's go put things. Let's try to build a big base. Right now, there is such a strong benefit to not building a big base because you're hoping that people won't notice it.
Yeah, it's almost like you're screwing yourself if you build a big base. You're like, hey, come on, come all, hack my base.
And that's what we keep seeing over and over again. So why then? What's the motivation? Like, why should we all get on and start gathering materials to build these bases if it's the bad thing to do?
And it was getting to the point where you would log on it. You couldn't even get all the materials to start building a base before hackers came in and took all of it.
Yeah, we'd have it to where we'd get part of it built and hackers would clear out almost every day the materials.
To try to expand. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Yep. Yeah. Anyways, that's happy. That was not in our notes, by the way.
Let me look at the intro of the show. I don't even know. That's not news, changelogs, development strategies, or speculation. That's raw. Should I add raw emotion to the intro?
And strong opinions.
Strategy, speculation, and strong emotions?
Yes.
I can add that. Well, next week. We've got time.
Brian. did I miss anything? I mean, I don't think we missed anything.
Well, tips of the week.
Yep. Well, that's what I was getting towards.
Okay.
Before tips of the week.
Let me just quickly refresh Reddit and Twitter.
Make sure that they haven't actually put notes up there
yet. Yeah, make sure there's nothing new on Reddit. Nope, nothing new on Reddit. We'll check Twitter really quick here.
So I think we're good to go then. Yep. All right. So tips of the week is where I come up with different strategies that you can use to enhance your in-game play. So this can be, we have the beginner tip, usually something very easy. Maybe people that have played other similar games before already know how to do. And then we have our advanced tip, which is something that even someone who's maybe done survival games before, first-person shooters before, they wouldn't know these things. So these are our tips of the week. All right, for our beginner tip, this is something I was running around with a player. And the nice thing about running around with people that haven't really played very much is you find these little things that you take for granted. And one thing they added into the game a while ago were these detailed maps. And I'm constantly picking up these detailed maps because if you do pick up one and you put it in your inventory, when you push the M key to open up your map, there is a very detailed map of everything. And it actually has detailed maps of the local cities as well. So make sure if you are a beginner player, if you see these maps, that you go and you pick up those detailed Pleasant Valley maps and then take a look at them, because it'll be something similar to what you'll be able to see on some of these websites, but it'll really help you when you're trying to figure out where things are in game. If you are a beginner player, you may not know where Pleasant Valley is, you know, compared to the dam or some of these other locations. This will be an excellent way for you to know, okay, this road connects these two places. I need to run down this road to get from one location to another. So definitely pick up those maps. If you have picked up a detailed map, you can then drop the hand-drawn map. You don't have to keep that in your inventory. So as long as you have one map, when you push the M key, it will show whatever the best version of that map is. So that is a beginner tip. And then for our advanced tip, this still has to do with navigation, but there's a way that you can figure out your heading even if you don't have a compass. You can type /LOC, and there are a set of coordinates that it will show. And so if you look at one, it's like a zero, it's 1.57. It'll be in these different ranges, even to negative numbers. But you can use those coordinates to be able to figure out, am I heading north? Am I heading south? So zero is east. 1.57 is north. 3.14 is west. And then a negative 1.57 is south. So if you may want to write that down, but that is one way. I know people that know a lot about reading maps and using compasses and things, they have an understanding of this. But yeah, zero is east, 1.57 is north, 3.14 is west, and then negative 1.57 is south. And that's one way that with the LOC command, you can quickly know, all right, I am facing this direction, to know that, because a lot of times we'll use the sun. But then you don't know, is it raising, setting? You can get really turned around with that. This is a definite way to know which actual direction you're facing.
Yep.
And so that's our tips.
And you know, Brian, I have a better suggestion. Instead of writing it down, you could just go to the show notes over at infectionpodcast.com, and they're right there.
Yes, that is true.
If you're in the car, don't pause your audio player and pull out, you know, the McDonald's napkin and jot down the coordinates. It's on the website. Don't worry.
Now, there's an actual, we have in our forums for people that are members of our clan, we actually have a drawing of this to where it shows the map and then it has the coordinates, and so you can see them. So that would be one way. If you're going to print anything off, print that off, because that'll be an easy way to know, okay, I'm between these two coordinates. All right, I'm heading this
You can
direction.
Print that off, and then just while it's printing, drive over to Staples and buy another ink cartridge.
That is.
Unless you've got a laser printer, because if you have an inkjet, good luck.
You're going to have one of those papers that's just...
Yeah, it's all so bubbly, and do not print that map off unless you have a laser printer. I can just give you that suggestion.
I have a laser printer.
All right, then you're color, fine. So. It would jam up my HP printer. I'd have to go buy a new one, because it's just a piece of junk.
But this is a standard coordinates this isn't just an H1Z1 thing.
Yeah.
This is an actual coordinate system. So you're actually learning something that's going to benefit you later.
Yeah.
In
if
life,
you're ever
stuck in a
if you're ever trapped without your
zombie infection,
if you're trapped without your iPhone and you don't have the Compass app.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
If you have an Android, you'll know how to navigate the world. Right, Brian?
Or H1Z1DB says it'd be a lot easier just to copy and paste, which has been an advanced tip that we've done in the past. That's why I didn't say to do that. But you could copy and paste that the whole set of coordinates, paste it into his mapping site that he has, and it'll actually show you.
And
exact
he says
location.
No paper required. So, you know, of course, got to save the environment.
Saving the environment.
Got to save the environment. That's what it's all about. While you're running your computer with your 700-watt power supply. Saving the environment.
And I guess this is a benefit, and this isn't really a tip of the week because we did cover this before, but that is a benefit for when you run in, like I run in windowed full screen.
Yeah.
It's not as much of a process to jump to other windows. A
oh,
lot of
yeah,
people.
No, do not.
When you're running in full screen and you alt tab out,
crash.
Like, it's doing more of a process. With me, if I hit the Windows key, like, I can go to my Windows, my other Windows, and actually do things.
Yeah.
So that would be a benefit if you want to find that past tip or find it somewhere in our show notes of how to go in and make it so that you actually open up in Windows full screen. That is a definite benefit of doing that.
Yeah, it is. So there we go. Those are tips of the week. I think that's about it.
Man, we did start late. I was going to say we were trying to end a little early.
Well, it's still short.
It's an hour 45
hour four, and that's an hour 40, as we said right now.
Okay, hour 40. So
exactly. So, you know, here's the thing. There's not as much to talk about. So the shows are shorter.
It's not short. We're 15 minutes shorter than.
Well, yeah, we're 15 minutes late. So,
You know, that's one thing when I put together the show notes, there were a lot of updates.
Yeah.
They're not like, oh, look at this, you know, there's a dam or whatever. But there are updates, you know, and I
was really scared for this week's show, knowing that there were that they were not doing major updates to the game this week in terms of like adding new content. I was a little worried.
Niska wants to know why you have that weather thing on in the background all the time.
What do you mean?
Go to tell them about your weather obsession. He says you have the little weather screen in the corner. That's behind you the time.
It's a hub.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a.
So Nick is actually like a weather official weather reporter. His area.
I am. Yes. And I'm also an official Skywarn member for anybody interested.
So he is definitely what I call a weather nerd.
Weather nerd. Yeah. The hub. If anybody's ever heard of Weather Underground, it's like a network of weather stations. That's what I'm part of. So that connects to the Raspberry Pi and uploads data 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
There you go.
Until the power fluctuates and the Raspberry Pi goes.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So that, yeah.
You can check out my station. It's KNYWATER33 on Weather Underground if you're interested.
Yeah, if you really want to know what the weather is around his place.
Yeah, there you go. You can check it out. That'll be a link in the show notes.
Yeah, you can do that. So, but anyways, there have been a lot of updates, and this is exactly like I'm giving props to Daybreak for this, because we actually said this a while ago. When we said this at the time, I would rather have no new content,
yes,
and bug fixes for the whole month. I would be happy. And what are they doing? They're doing exactly what I asked. This is exactly what I wanted. So I'm definitely not going to complain. Oh, you haven't put in new content this week.
Oh, definitely not. No, not at all.
This is exactly what we were wanting, is to have patches, lots of fixes. And you're not going to be able to do that forever. I mean, eventually they're going to have to put in new content. So when I say, hey, I want to have a some sort of a quest system and all this stuff, I'm not saying do that this week, but you know, for this month, definitely doing those fixes, priority number one.
For sure.
After that, you know, once you get to where you're comfortable, everything is stable, people are not, you know, not playing because of whatever frustrating things are in there. All right, now let's come up with something good for them to do.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's the next step. We get it to where people can log in. They can log in without bad things happening. Okay, now what do they do once they logged in? Because right now the problem is that people haven't been able to log in correctly. Things crash. Things aren't operating correctly. You know, we deal with the hackers and the base building system just not being worth putting time into. You know, all right, so that's got to get fixed. Once we get it to where, all right, I can log in, then there's that next step. And I think that's going to be after this 2 week, as you said, maybe 3 week period.
Yes, I was just going to hit that.
Then that's what they can focus on, is, all right, we've got them to where they can get in. Things are stable. Things are cool. Now, what are we going to have them do? Not what content are they going to get? What new things are they going to see? What are they going
to
do?
Yeah. Take an extra week. Take an extra 2 weeks if you need it to get all these patches fixed. Get the game so that there are no little minute, minor, stupid bugs in the game.
Yeah.
And the game is just playable so that you can start working on stuff and not have to worry about, you know, just crap not working.
Yeah.
So there you go. And we'll leave it at that. I think that's going to be about it. So we'll see next week. I hope that there's content for next week too. In terms of
there will be
no in terms of like I hope they keep releasing content.
Yeah,
or not keep releasing the stuff that they're fixing, so we have stuff to talk about. So
well, and okay, so and that by next week will be supposedly the end of that 2 week period. I'm thinking that he's putting that master list together. We should have a list of a lot of things that have been fixed that we don't even know about.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that we should have that whole list to work off of, unless they push it out a little bit longer. But still, I mean, there should be. I'm going to keep an eye on the issue tracker. There's a lot of things that we'll be able to look at. So, we've not had a week where we haven't had anything to talk about. Yep. There's definitely progress being made on the game every week.
Yes, for sure. They are working. As much crap as we'd like to give them, or we do give them, they're busting their butts getting stuff done. Nobody can argue that. Nobody can argue that.
Yeah.
They are busting to get it done.
So that's the thing is I think they got to the point where they were going so many directions.
Well, there were so many suggestions. And so
they're like, oh, we want to put this in. We want to put this in. We want to keep everyone happy. Well, when the bugs start piling up and people like the players like us who don't care whether or not there's a new hat, there's a new shirt.
Mm-hmm.
We get to the point where we're like, well, okay, great. That's great that you put that in there. But what about this? And yeah. I think that's what they came to realize is, okay, the what about this is have grown so large that, we need to really focus on it.
Exactly. So that's that. Brian, where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, if you want to go to my blog, that's biteoftech.com. That's biteoftech with an I. Or you can go to my Google Plus page, which is google.com/+ Brian Aldridge with an I as well. That'll take you to my posts on Google Plus. Or if you go to my blog, you can go and there's lots of links there to find me on Twitter and LinkedIn and everything else.
Yep.
One thing you can do is go to our website. If you go to infectionpodcast.com, on there we have on the right-hand side a place where you can join our forum. You can join our TeamSpeak. You can join our Steam group. So even if you don't want to play on our server, maybe you want to do some group BRs with us or something. If you join our Steam group, that'll help you to see other people that are playing H1Z1 right now. That's a great way to start using those group BRs because you can see someone else. If you go and say, oh, I don't know anyone else that's playing right now to go do a group BR, come join our Steam group. You'll see someone else that is playing H1Z1. You can ask them, hey, do you want to go and play a group BR with me? It's an excellent way to meet new people and definitely would benefit to using our actual Steam group.
Of course. And we're also working on something behind the scenes as well. That we should hopefully be able to get into in a few weeks. So we're not going anywhere. As for the time being, we will be here every week, continuing doing the show, unless Brian just doesn't show up 1 week, which is impossible.
Hey, this week I had to reboot my computer.
yeah, of course.
But I was here.
Yeah, he was here. I almost started without you. I was just like, you know what, Brian's just got go some. I was like, I'm going to start, and then we'll just bring him in, but. I held off.
I got in here.
So. So we're working on some stuff. We will be here for the foreseeable future doing the show. So if you're a little down in the game, like I said at the beginning of the show, this may be your time to take a little break. Or you're not going to miss out on anything big. It's just they're just doing some general bug fixes and stuff like that. So you're definitely not going to miss out on anything too important. Yeah. So like Brian said, you can check out our website. It's infectionpodcast.com. Our Twitter is the place to go. It's @infectioncast on Twitter. You can follow us there. We tweet. Every once in a while, there'll be like funny YouTube videos that are posted on Reddit. There was one this week called like Demon Car, and we liked that, and that tweets out. So if you want to keep up with some funny H1Z1 stuff or pretty much any H1Z1 news, we retweet some of the stuff on there as well. Where else can you go? Like Brian said, our Steam group, our TeamSpeak, not as active as it used to be, but there's still people on there from time to time. So you can check out our TeamSpeak, of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. So you can get all of the most recent episodes of Infection. Guys, we do the show live every Tuesday night at 7 PM Eastern is the time we do the show. And then of course you can listen to it after the fact on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, pretty much wherever you can get an audio file. we are there. So, guys, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Infection. My name is Nick Craig. InfectionPodcast.com is the website, and we'll see you next week for Infection. Have a great night, guys.